Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
So during the year, if you're at the synagogue office and you hear a sound, a loud sound, inevitably, the sound is the result of one of the students. Someone from Sinai, Akiba, from the preschool, they're connected in some way to that loud sound. This past week, however, if you were in the synagogue office and you heard a loud sound, the sound was a result of a crane or a sledgehammer or some tool of the renovations. And don't get me wrong, that we're very pleased and very excited for the renovations, but the sound of a jackhammer is not so pleasing, but the sound of a child is wonderful. And I miss the children. I'm lonely. You know, that the kids aren't in school means that they're spending a lot more time with you, with mom and dad. And keeping a child occupied during the summer, I imagine that that is an enormous challenge. Not only keeping a child occupied, but just parenting in general. I'm not a father yet, but I can imagine that being a parent is extremely difficult and rewarding. Parents tell me, though, that one of the hardest challenges that they face is how to direct a child's behavior. Just the other week, I was at the park with a friend and his young son. And the boy was playing barefoot in the sandbox. And then he wanted to go to the monkey bars and climb on the monkey bars. "Okay," my friend told his son, "first put on your shoes." So what do you think the boy said? "No, I don't want to." And then what did the dad say? "But you have to." And this went back and forth, back and forth. And finally exchanging continued until the boy relented. He put on his shoes. He climbed all over the monkey bars. He forgot about his mini rebellion. And he was very happy. Later on, when we were back at my home, my friend shared that he's not always sure of the line. When his son's defiance is unacceptable and wrong, and when it shows independence, that the boy is strong, he's a leader, he's full of moxie. Teachers experience the same with their students. There is the inquisitive student, the one asking genuine questions, and then there's the wisecracking troublemaker. And sometimes it's the same child, just a different day. And for those of us who are not around children, adults also walk this fine line. In the office, an employee challenges the boss. It's either insubordination and rebellious, or it's free thinking, a new direction. We all get to experience this fine line on Passover. Consider the four children. There is little difference between the rasha, the evil child, and the chacham, the smart and seemingly obedient child. Just let's look at the words. Chacham, mahu omer, the wise one, what does he say? What are the testimonies, the statutes, and the laws which the Lord our God has commanded you? Rasha, mahu omer, the wicked child, what does he say? What is this service to you? The questions are very similar. It's the same question. What is this all about, is their question. The difference, though, and the reason that people don't realize that it's the same question, the difference is in the tone. The tone and the motivation are very different. But their questions, the question is the same. And once again, this demonstrates that there is a fine line between the open rebellion of the rasha and the curiosity of the chacham. Take, for example, Albert Einstein, whose theory of relativity turned the world of science on its head. Walter Isaacson just published a new biography on Einstein, and in that book, Isaacson points out that Einstein, when he was at school, had a great deal of difficulty. He often sassed the teacher, and he exhibited a casual willingness and inclination to question authority. While studying for his degree at the Zurich Polytechnic Institute, his primary physics professor, Heinrich Weber summed it up when he told Einstein the following: "You are a very clever boy, but you have one great fault. You'll never let yourself be told anything." Isaacson then adds, "There was some truth to that assessment, but Einstein was to show the world this ability to tune out conventional wisdom was not the worst fault to have." The same motivation that led Einstein to rebelliously dismiss his studies and his teachers, that same motivation freed him up to think creatively and to revolutionize science. The line between constructive independence and destructive rebellion is thin. It's difficult to distinguish between what is rebellious and bad and what is independent and free-spirited. Let's explore for a moment how we can see the difference. The adage goes, "It's not what you say, but how you say it." According to our tradition, it's not what you say, but what's behind it. What's the motivation? What are the intentions? In Pirkei Avot, which is a collection of ethical teachings in the Talmud, the rabbis try and discover what is a valid dispute. What is a controversy for the sake of heaven? A machloket shehi l'shem shamayim. Pirkei Avot maintains that the disagreements between the two great rabbinical sages, Shammai and Hillel, those are examples, those disputes are examples of machlokot l'shem shamayim, disputes for the sake of heaven. While the complaints brought against Moses by Korach, which we read about in last week's Parsha, that is the quintessential example of a destructive dispute. Commentators on this teaching offer that Hillel and Shammai argued not to further their own egos, but to gain truth. Their disagreements were l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. Korach, on the other hand, Korach rebelled against Moses not because he wanted to better Israelite society, but because he wanted power. There was validity in Korach's critique of Moses, but what it had in body, it lacked in soul. His challenges were not fresh new ideas brought to help the people. They were vicious attacks seeking to destroy. This is the standard we should apply. Although we cannot define the difference between rebellion and independence, we know it when we see it. Rebellion is not l'shem shamayim, for it is intended to hurt, to destroy, to demean. Creative independence is intended to offer something, to advance a cause, and that is certainly l'shem shamayim. On Pesach, we know the difference between the Rasha and the Chacham. Although they ask the same question, the Rasha hopes to antagonize, while the Chacham's question is posed to further the discussion. It is l'shem shamayim. The body of their statements are the same. The soul of their statements are radically different. When I get an email or a phone message that for some reason angers me, not that rabbis ever get angry, my first reaction is to respond immediately. And I almost never follow through with writing or engaging that immediate response. And when I do, when I respond immediately, it is almost always a mistake. Because my immediate response when I'm angry is not l'shem shamayim. For me, an immediate response often has less to do with the issue and more to do with the ego. So I try to avoid the temptation to immediately hit reply or to return the call immediately. Because after my emotions even out, I'm usually able to respond thoughtfully. When I'm no longer angry, my response is based on the issue, not the ego. That is a response, l'shem shamayim. Angry responses, no matter how seemingly justified they are almost always wrong. The body of the information may be correct, but the soul is polluted. Allow me to close with the following. When I was in yeshiva, my teacher sadly recalled a conversation he had with the head of another yeshiva, where the man who assassinated Yitzhak Rabin had studied. Apparently, and the assassin, and I'm not going to call him by name, he doesn't merit being named, but the assassin was a gifted student. But there was a problem. See, studying Talmud is supposed to be engaging. It's supposed to be passionate. It's supposed to get your juices flowing. But the eventual assassin always took it one step too far. He consistently responded in anger. And the head of the yeshiva recalled that after one particularly heated disagreement with another student, he went into the boy's room. The eventual assassin stole and shredded the boy's clothing. But since he demonstrated such intellectual promise, the head of the yeshiva excused his behavior. Since the assassination of Rabin, the head of the yeshiva told my teacher that he lives with tremendous guilt, for he realizes that it was right before his eyes. He knew it, he saw it, and he refused to believe it. For all those years in yeshiva, the assassin offered brilliance, but it was not constructive, independent thought. It was empty brilliance motivated for all the wrong reasons. It was never l'shem shamayim. Understanding the difference between independent thought and rebellion is critical. What would our world look like if our leaders were given unquestionable authority? If every question was perceived as open defiance? Or what would our world look like if the critique of authority came only exclusively from those motivated by ego and power? Think if Einstein never had the opportunity to offer his brilliance because the world was incapable of hearing something new and different. Imagine the waste of genius. Or what happens if Einstein's work was only motivated by ego and the pursuit of power? Where would it have led? And thousands of years ago, what if the Israelites accepted Korach despite his selfish motives? What if they removed Moses and entrusted Korach to lead us through the desert? Imagine if the Jewish world did not understand that Hillel and Shammai could peacefully disagree because they both sought truth. Can we envision a Judaism in which only one side, one perspective, could be valued? Would that even be Judaism? Envision a world in which we do not understand the value of L'shem Shamayim with our leaders, at our offices, and with our children. Imagine a world incapable of distinguishing between the Rasha and the Chacham. May we be blessed with the ability to know it when we see it, to recognize the difference between destructive rebellion and constructive independent thought. May we be blessed with the courage to effectively steer our children towards strength and independence and away from angry revolt. And in our own lives, may we speak our minds and voice our concerns, not with the emptiness of the Rasha, but with the spirit of the Chacham, raising our voices to further the cause of goodness and truth, L'shem Shemayim. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.